Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You're listening to WAAOL, All Automotive Advertising News All the Time, hosted, of course, by Blog Talk Radio and featured on adagencyonline.net, your one-stop site for all of your automotive advertising news and needs. We have our own Blog Talk Radio station, WAAOL. My name is Philip Zellinger. I'm the president of Ad Agency Online. We're a network of full-service automotive advertising experts, automotive advertising agencies, auto industry vendors, production partners, and basically people who are looking to leverage the network relationships we enjoy from our experiences, our products and services, out into the retail auto industry. This is an open forum, and today's show, by the way, is the Automotive Advertising Experts. It's one of our more populated forums that invites just that, auto industry experts, to come in and give us the inside story on new cutting-edge technologies, applications that are blurring the line between the real and the virtual showroom. Today we have a little bit of a conference call going. I have a couple of decision makers representing DealMaker.com. It's a new application that I've been researching and reviewing for our dealer agencies. And I can only tell you that every once in a while I find something that gets my attention, and it requires me to really open up the doors almost in advance of a decision. We haven't moved forward to commit to them as a relationship, as a preferred vendor, but at the very least, I must give them the respect and credit they deserve, because they've actually created what I might reference as the holy grail of automotive advertising. You know, we've been looking for an online transactional tool that's going to cut through the clutter of one-on-one negotiations and accommodate a broad stroke to open up the forum for negotiations between customers and dealers, and almost a national forum. And we may have accidentally bumped into one right here. I have on the phone, I describe them in our press releases and our reference to the email blasts we send out to our agencies as both the brains and the brawn. I temporarily assigned the brains to Brian Ferris. He's the our chief architect and CIO of DealMaker.com. And I assigned the brawn attribute to Spencer Sterling. He's the CEO. Of course, we'll transfer those descriptions in future in case it offends either one of them. But between the two, we have the decision makers and the creators of what I consider to be one of the newest online transactional tools that are out there. I'll probably start by posing the point to Brian. If you could say first hello to make sure that I haven't lost you during my introduction.
Yeah, hi, Paul. I'm right here.
Ah, and you're speaking to us from where again?
From London.
From London. And London. I want to also verify that I still have Spencer on the line. Spencer, you're on the line?
Yes, I am, Philip.
And you're speaking from?
Boca Raton, Florida.
Isn't it amazing what the World Wide Web and modern technology will do? Because the logic that we just put on the table of all three of us speaking online is the same as our customers. They're all going to the Internet to find out where they're going to buy their next car and how they're going to do it. And, blurring that line between the real and the virtual showroom is something that's accomplished through processes and products and applications like DealMaker.com. You know, Brian, maybe the best way to start the process, and I'll pose the question first to you as the chief architect, what is DealMaker? It's a simple question, hopefully with an almost simpler answer.
Well, DealMaker is a real-time trading exchange for real-time market intelligence, real-time search and advertising. We hope to exploit the Internet to create dynamic trading channels for mainstream commodity brands.
And how does DealMaker work? Because obviously we're all looking forward to some ability to allow a conversation to go past that glass wall that a virtual showroom usually creates. We all recognize that people are using it now as an informational resource, and they usually hit that glass wall when it comes down to actually buying the darn thing. How does DealMaker work to push through that glass wall and actually allow an online negotiation and purchase?
Yeah, well, Phil, that's a great question. What happens is that buyers and sellers post bids and offers to a central marketplace offering to buy and sell similar products, in this case, automobiles. Bids to buy are displayed on the left, and offers to sell are displayed on the right. The system continuously searches the market. It ranks and matches and alerts all similar offers to buy and sell. Traders can click any bid to offer, to see details, buy it, sell it, or change it to post a counter offer to the whole market. All bids and offers are continuously offered to the whole market simultaneously, as I said, so every deal can be closed at the best price the market will bear.
You know, the most important comment that I just picked out of that with the car guy hat on me is I'm a competitive son of a gun, and you're telling me that if I'm a customer, I can go into the Internet, and I could go out there and I can find any vehicle I want, because as I understand it, the entire inventory of the United States is posted online nowadays. You guys can access that, so I got a universal inventory. I, as a customer, can drill down, pick the vehicle I want by line item, literally build it out with all of the different factory packages and specifications specific, not just some generic black box of a BMW 750, but one with the, you know, GPS and everything I want exactly the way I want it. And then I could throw it out there into an open forum and a bidding war between the dealers. So if I'm a competitive dealer and I'm sitting in that arena, if I want the deal, I get the deal. I mean, is that basically what you just told me, that I as a customer can put these dealers to bid against each other, and I as a dealer, if I want to win, I can sell a car to anybody that goes online looking for my car?
That's right. Well, any authorized dealer can do that. And I think what's also very important from a dealer's perspective is that it's not only dealers competing with each other, but it can be buyers competing with each other. Because if a dealer has a particular configuration or combination which is popular, you know, he can have the same sort of bidding war going on between buyers, and he can ensure that he gets the maximum price possible for that vehicle.
You know, that's a good point, because one-on-one negotiations are about all we're limited to now, so you really don't know whether or not you're selling the car too darn cheap. And the old car guys out there will recognize that usually you got to put out your lowest price in order to get the attention, and then you got to sort of grin and bear it and just recognize that in order to be competitive, if you're not the lowest, they won't talk to you. Well, this opens up the dynamic that allows the customers to compete as well. I love the fact that I'm no longer locked into nothing but thin deals on the Internet, because I'm able to actually take advantage of that bidding war from a two-directional standpoint. That's pretty exciting. What else, as far as I'm concerned, would you say makes the difference between DealMaker and other online applications? I already recognize the universal nature of the review process, the fact that you're not limited just to a generic car, but you're actually drilling down to apple-to-apple comparisons. But what else differentiates DealMaker from other online transaction and shopping tools?
Well, I think the most important aspect may be that it creates an environment where many buyers and many sellers, as you've just spoken about, can trade on the same platform, which can optimize prices. I think one of the biggest dilemmas for dealers is choosing the right price. Maintaining optimal internet pricing manually is extremely difficult. Cars are volatile commodities, as we know. Supply and demand is really never constant. So by definition, I feel that car pricing should be dynamic, not fixed. So if you look at this and we take what I would say is sort of, say, dilemma one, if you don't display prices, you might not get any inquiries. If you do show prices, then they better be interesting. Otherwise, you certainly won't get any response. And there's a catch-22 there, because if you're always forced to open negotiations at your lowest, least profitable price, then, you know, how can you ever hope to hit a home run? Another dilemma, you know, pitching no-haggle low prices sounds quite tempting, but how can one price fit all? Every buyer is not the same. Each has their own unique set of circumstances, priorities, and values. So a fair price for one may not be fair for another. What about all those less demanding buyers who may have been willing to pay you more? So either you lose deals because your price is too high, or you end up leaving money on the table because your price is too low.
You know, I think it's interesting that a guy from England is talking about the American way, you know, talking about a free trade and an open marketplace, establishing supply and demand formulas for price and product. I'm excited enough to know that it exists, let alone that it actually exists today. You know, I'm curious. I also have a car guy on the phone, like I said, the brawn of the package, and that's Spencer Sterling. You know, I'm going to suggest to all of you guys that after this show, you go to edagencyonline.net and you roll down to the blog that we posted today that gives a little bit of the experience and the resume, I should say, of these two gentlemen. But, you know, Spencer has got enough background with Ford to knock your socks off. We're talking car guy to car guy here, Spencer. So if you could do this for me, in your review, based on your skill sets and your experience representing both the OEMs and other applications, could you explain one big problem that DealMaker solves for the auto industry?
Well, I think that, for the auto industry, what DealMaker is doing is pointing the way to the future, the way in which the cost of selling an automobile is going to be dramatically reduced. If you link that with everything that Brian has described, that DealMaker offers as a convenience and as a value tool for both buyer and seller, if you link that to the fact that the seller's costs are going to be reduced, the buyer is going to have a much broader choice and opportunity to match what he's looking for with what's available across the entire inventory spectrum. You add all of that together, plus the fact that DealMaker has a process that allows the buyer and seller, once the system has matched them, to connect and to consummate the deal right there online. Now, I think if you add those three attributes together, you're looking at a revolution that is going to cause some problems. There's going to be some resistance, but it is absolutely inevitable that that's where it's all heading.
You know, as a businessman, I have to look at it from the line item expenses compared to the ROI that I anticipate and the reduced margins that are existing in today's world. And if there was ever a time for efficiencies like this to exist, it's now. I mean, let's face it, we're in a shrinking economy, a shrinking auto industry, and the dealers that are surviving it, the dealers that will survive, I should say, when the dust settles, they're going to need to have more efficient methods of establishing their selling processes. They're going to need to extend their customer base beyond the logistics of their 10, 20, 30-mile area of responsibility. The Internet has already opened up the informational resource for consumers to go to it as a filter, to filter out the dealers and the products before they get in the car at $5 a gallon. But I think the more important logic that we just put on the table to you guys out there is that the brick-and-mortar car dealership that exists today will not be the same one that exists tomorrow. You know, oddly enough, the diverse backgrounds of both Spencer and Brian take a world platform to this issue. I know that Spencer and Brian both had explained to me that there's a whole different logic in Europe for the function of a brick-and-mortar dealership. Brian, why don't you explain that to me as far as the central staging areas the OEMs present and the opportunity for the brick-and-mortar dealership to change its role into more of a staging area and a service center than a need to go get the information for the vehicles. Why don't you explain that in the way, in your own words, I should say.
Well, the way it's heading in Europe is really in OEM setting up what we call experience sites or demo sites where people can come in and experience the vehicles, test drive the vehicles, and find out all about the vehicles, and then they can go home and negotiate their best deal online. Mercedes is a great example. They've set up a huge complex at the old Brooklands racing circuit near London, and people can go out there with their family and kids, and they can go in and out of the cars, they can test them, they've got a test track there, they can drive them, they can do everything they want to do, and then they can sit down and I think they can make some kind of deal there, or they can go home, think about it, go on the internet and buy a car that way. So Alfa have done that in Milan or Turin, I think. A lot, and Mercedes have done it, are doing it all over Europe. So they're setting up these centres where people can go and experience the vehicles. And to me, that tells me that they see the internet really taking over in terms of the transaction process.
And it also exists, I should mention to our audience, because sometimes you guys are so busy selling cars and service and worrying about paying your bills in this market that you lose track of some of the issues and the developments that are happening in the auto industry. For example, let's take this conversation back to the States. Ford is starting to sponsor remote service centers, and there's been an ongoing push to creating satellite locations for servicing the vehicles because of the consolidation that's cut down on the dealer body out there as far as servicing cars after the sale. The Internet's already taken on the role as the shopping media, so now it becomes a matter of how do you support your dealer network and your customer network out there, and whether you know it or not, this dynamic is already in play. More importantly, again, we have to recognize what is already in place, and that is to say the dealers are looking for ways to save money. And, you know, they're reducing staff. They're already recognizing that the factory push to build that $50 million mausoleum to sell cars is becoming a chain around their neck. They're looking for solutions. And these applications like DealMaker.com is providing them by giving them a channel to take advantage of existing technologies. So they've already invested in the virtual showroom. We've already recognized that it's going to be the way that we're going to communicate the information to make a buying decision. But up until today, we didn't really understand how we're going to push through to make it happen to be an actual sale. That's what DealMaker.com is providing, guys. And it's doing it in a unique way because it's no longer limited by that one-to-one negotiation. It's no longer limited by just the dealer going first with his price. The customer has a, and the free market has a say in the way that price settles down to preserve profitability. So for all those old car guys out there that are sitting there with that story, nah, they're going to want to drive it, they're going to need a dealership, I'm never going anywhere. I don't know, guys, the only constant in the car business that I recognize is change. And the philosophy of lead, follow, or get out of the way is really becoming more and more relevant to today's market. I'm going to turn the question back into Spencer because I got to tell you, Spencer, one of the things I value in having met with you is your direct resources to histories with the OEMs. How do you think this is affecting the OEMs and their perception of the future, you know, a franchise system and the role of brick and mortar in the process to buying, servicing, and selling a car in the future?
Well, I don't think there can be any doubt that the OEMs who constantly review and their business and have to reinvent their businesses, and some do it a little quicker than others, as you have seen from what is happening in the United States now. These people are now projecting into the future, and the trend is there. The trend is plain to see. And from an OEM's point of view, I mean, what the OEM wants to do is to sell as many vehicles as possible for as little cost as possible. And all of this comes together in this trend that's taking place. I think one thing that one should bear in mind when looking at and describing what DealMaker does and how it is going to affect the car buyer of the future is that, in my view, it's going to improve brand loyalty because when a person buys a car with which he or she is satisfied and is going to trade that car in on the latest iteration of the same model or buy up in the same brand, they don't have to go and drive the car. They already know. And so they will go online and do their transaction online. It's going to cost them an awful lot less. It's going to save them a lot of time. And the same thing for the seller. Recognize also fleets. Fleets play a huge role in the lives of OEMs in every single country. Now, fleet buyers don't go out and test drive every car they buy. And therefore, they are a natural. And DealMaker can accommodate fleets just as easily as it can accommodate a single a vehicle purchase. So,
another thing, not to cut you off, Spencer, but just to repeat, because I'm looking at some questions that are coming through about how is this going to affect me as a dealer and my ability to make a living as a car dealer, and let me be careful to make sure you all recognize the truth here. Technology is a good thing. You know, the growth of the auto industry is going to go to those people that see it first, and that's the opportunity that we're platforming here on AdAgencyOnline.net. It's a logic that I applied in my own business model. As a matter of fact, the person asking the question happens to be one of my clients, so I'm going to answer you directly, Guy. The best way I can put it to you is to remind you of my business plan as adagencyonline.net. You know, I was a car dealer for 25 years. I got involved in automotive advertising in the old school. I was a brick-and-mortar ad agency. We had, you know, 50 employees, 20,000 square feet of space. I had our own in-house production facilities. Everything was brick-and-mortar. And then I got a realization that, you know, as a car guy, I always enjoyed the use of my DMS as a central communication, distribution, resource to sit down and be able to look at all aspects of operations. Well, in the advertising business, that didn't exist, so I invented it. And I created an operating system that allowed me to get rid of my 20,000-square-foot facility, take all of my key people and separate them away and link them through an online communication distribution system. But the good news was my product was data. It was electronic. I didn't have to worry about inventorying hard cars. And so I assumed that, well, it works for the ad business, but it wouldn't work for the car business. And then, of course, the channel width increased, and the broadband and the internet speed increased, and video technologies started becoming applied, and the message became clear about communicating the product, and all of these things were leaning towards, well, wait a minute now, I guess theoretically the virtual showroom is already moving similar to what I did as far as replacing the car dealer, but how on God's green earth are you going to open up real negotiations? How are you going to allow transactions? And all of a sudden, somebody comes up with something like DealMaker.com. So the wisdoms that I've already applied to my business plan by basically creating a virtual ad agency and linking it through technologies and applications is now becoming available in the real world with automobiles because of the dynamic negotiations that DealMaker is able to accommodate and because of the newer technologies that are allowing you to have videos and give all of the information they need for a buying decision online. And, you know, perhaps I should revert the question back to Brian now. Basically, you know, one of the logics that the dealer is asking me is, how am I going to continue to make a living? I got to remind you guys, the money that you're going to be able to save on inventory, on facility, on staff, on internal processes, all of this can be passed on to your customers in savings, but keep a piece for your bottom line. Your margins should go up by being able to cost average out the prices that you sell the vehicles for. I think Brian was very correct by suggesting that we no longer have to market online with loss leaders. We can let the market establish a fair profit. As far as I'm concerned, I see this as an opportunity to reduce expenses, to increase profits, and they're all going to get pushed to your bottom line. So this is good news for the brick-and-mortar dealer that's wise enough to integrate this kind of an online application. All of the logics that we've applied to blur the line between the real and the virtual showroom suggest that anything we do has to integrate into proven real-world processes. So they're going to both live in harmony. Now, Brian, well, the question I guess that would transcend that question is, how much does it cost to sell cars through DealMaker in specific?
Well, for a dealer to get started with DealMaker, basically registration fees are zero, subscription charges are zero.
I'm sorry, did you say zero?
Yeah, there are no charges for a dealer to register on DealMaker. There are no charges for a dealer to list their vehicles on dealer. There may be small charges involved with custom configurations and so on, DMS polling systems if they're non-standard. But the bottom line is that a dealer would share a small commission with us on successful deals.
This is a performance-based business plan that basically you go first, set up the distribution channel for the information, you set up the negotiation process, you put the dealer and the customer together, and if they do business, you get paid. If they don't, you don't. Is that what you just said?
That's correct.
Exactly. Instead of delivering leads to dealers, we would deliver live offers to dealers. And bear in mind that dealers always have the option to take offers or leave offers or renegotiate offers. So they can always optimize their prices and values to the best performance.
Spencer, I'm not going to challenge the brains of the bunch because I'm going to ask the brawn. I've just heard somebody tell me that instead of handing me a lead that I have to disconnect, that I got to get them on the phone or go on an email or bring them to the dealership to keep the transaction live and moving forward, that I'm now able to deliver an actual buyer, complete the transaction. So I'm no longer delivering leads. I'm delivering deals. Is that what that man just said?
That's correct. That's absolutely right. Because the shopper has gone online, has looked at what's available, he's decided what he wants, and the system matches for him, and he can if there are a number of offers in the area that he's interested in, he can get the system to list those offers in whatever order of priority suits his value system. If it's price or specification or color or whatever. And then having gone through, he's basically completed the shopping process at the point in time that he links his bid to the offer. So when the dealer sees somebody bidding for what he's got on offer, he's looking at a buyer, not a lead.
You know, and more importantly, this is an automated process. We take the people part out of the formula until it's absolutely necessary when they physically come in to take the keys. And the ability for the dealership to create an online identity through social networking sites that we feature on our portal like carfolks.com, and the ability for the dealer to have an identity through applications that deliver video messages like this new one we're reviewing with Sister Technologies with a video car lot that has embedded links to Carfax, and all of the information that precedes this negotiation is part of the puzzle as well. For those guys out there that are wondering how a customer is going to move forward to buy something they haven't seen or driven, I repeat and remind you all that nothing lives in a vacuum. All of the applications that we feature on our portal are designed to replicate existing real-world processes and bring them to the online experience. And the customer that needs more information will solicit it while he's online with dealmaker.com. He can go into the dealer's website. He can video connect to look at a 3D picture of the vehicle provided, for example, again, by Sister Technologies with their video car lot application. He can drill down to the MSRP if he wants to link another online transactional tool we feature, such as AI Dealer, which is a self-serving desking system. This whole process doesn't exist in the vacuum of information. There's nothing that prevents the consumer from going through all of the other steps first or during and then continuing. But the main point is, for the internet managers out there who recognize the importance of the statistics of the exit page, you know, when do you lose the customer's focus? It's usually when you have to transition the conversation to a telephone, an email, or invite them to the showroom. A lot of risk, a lot of exposure during that downtime of him bumping into another dealer or changing his mind. You know, buyer's remorse is a very real part of human nature, and any application we build into the internet has to deal with that as a priority. It's still a people-to-people process. By automating it to allow us to get further along and giving the confidence that the customer's in charge for a lot longer and getting a lot more information without having to be filtered through with the sales pressure and the sales hype, all of these logics is stuff we've been talking about for months, so I've been applying for years, and we now have a new tool in the toolbox. Now, again, I want to qualify my comment that this is something I've been doing my due diligence on, and I am still doing so. I can only tell you so far I have yet to find a problem. I have yet to they've gone through all of my filters, both with people, process, and product. I'm very interested in continuing this conversation. With only 2 minutes left, I guess I'd like to ask whoever answers first, how do dealers get started on this process?
Well, I can help you there. Essentially, dealers would simply provide a detailed inventory of their available inventory and their pipeline inventory. We import that into our system. They include with that certain details such as anticipated delivery date for vehicles. They provide a copy of their terms of sale, provide an email address to receive orders, and every offer that received will be subject to the usual terms of sale. It's secured by a cash deposit. And, you know, as I said before, they can either accept, ignore, renegotiate any deals that they get.
And all of this, by the way, just for the guys out there who are wondering how this happens, this is all done seamlessly through RSS feeds and your existing distribution of data. You don't have someone sitting there typing in the cards. It's already automatically pulled off of the information that you've put out there. I remind you all, one of the things we apply, One of the filters we apply to selections of applications is to make sure that there's a minimum amount of redundancy of data input, a minimum amount of additional layers of processes, and this thing just links directly into existing data and processes. At this point, guys, I can only repeat and remind you all that even though the relationship isn't official, I feel strongly enough about my responsibility to support my dealers out there and opportunities as they develop, and ground floor opportunities are the ones that I look for. So if you want more information, go to adagencyonline.net, scroll down to some of the blogs we've already posted, click on the adagencyonline.net free consultation. I'll be personally available to answer any questions, because I got to tell you, this is one of my babies. I'm going to personally involve myself in it. So if you get an account executive starting to explain it, tell them you want to speak to Phil. Guys, I'm going to have to say goodbye now and remind you all that the information we just provided is free at adagencyonline.net, or feel free to go to dealmaker.com. You got about 10 seconds to say goodbye and any last comments. Spencer, anything you want to add to our audience?
Just that everybody that is interested in riding the wave that is already moving us all onto the Internet for almost every business transaction, certainly in the trading arena, should take a good hard look at dealmaker.com.
And Brian, what about you? What would you like to add to the mix before we walk off?
Well, I'd just like to thank everybody for listening, and we really enjoyed this opportunity to share this with everyone. Thank you.
Okay, and I'll go on record to say that these guys are about as ground floor as it gets. A few OEMs out there for other applications we represent, or people surfing the web, there are investment opportunities to involve, there are strategic partner relationships to establish. I'm frankly already reviewing that opportunity for some of the applications I already represent. As I remind you all, nobody lives alone in this world. Networking is how I live, and I live to leverage. So everybody have a great day, and thanks for your time. And guys, I'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye now.
Thank you, and goodbye.
Thank you. Bye.